We are going to be talking with Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR. Thanks for being here, Kenny.
Glad to be with you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And there's one more ski race happening up in the Tofte area tomorrow, and I think it is just going to get by. We still have snow. We had one moderate snowfall when you finally got your due early this week, but it's already melting. So I guess that's what's happening here.
Yeah, it is that time of year. It looks like, inland areas of the North Shore, especially in St. Louis and Lake counties, got a couple to a few inches of snow, 2 to 4 inches, basically. Heavier snow down in southeast Minnesota, including the Twin Cities. We had pretty spectacular conditions, I must say. We're all still really short on snowfall. Deficits are still 50%, roughly, give or take. Some are more than that. So we're really short on what we would normally have. And, therefore, there's not a lot of snow around, and it's March. It's easy to forget how strong the sun is. We are approaching the spring equinox. It's just, two weeks away. So the sun's intensity in terms of, I'm not talking about air temperature, I'm just talking about the intensity of the sun based on where it is, where its direct rays are, which right now they're just south of the equator. That's where we are at the end of September, early October.
Right.
So we're in this, sure, it's late winter, but functionally, astronomically, in terms of sunlight, it's the same as early fall.
And it feels brilliant out there, I got to say. When the sun's out and the bright new snow, phew, it's bright.
Yeah, so this is about probably 1 week away for you. Yesterday, day after the heavy snow, people in the Twin Cities area getting in their cars had to probably crack open the window because it was so warm. Because the sunlight is now coming through the windshield and heating up the inside of the car. And it's been a while. So that's probably 1 to 2 weeks away for the North Shore area, but kind of a sure sign of spring indeed.
Yes. And now it seems like there's a little bit of a blip, but it's going to get warm. It seems like it is going mostly below freezing at night. So that's good news for maple syrup people. Do you have a forecast long or short term?
Yeah, we're actually watching. I don't watch a lot of television. So I don't know what the local meteorologists on TV are saying.
Yeah.
But I know what all the local meteorologists and regional meteorologists are watching, and we are all watching a mammoth storm that is expected to move into the central part of the country next week. This last storm was actually really big in terms of its pressure. Lowest pressure got down to 979 millibars.
Ooh.
And I don't expect anyone who's listening, other than maybe you, to know what that means. But that's a very, very deep cyclone.
That is.
The storm that that wrecked the Edmund Fitzgerald was maybe 4 millibars lower. So this is a very intense. And that's why we, in southern Minnesota and Iowa, there were 50 to 60 and even 65 mile an hour wind gusts all day long. on Wednesday. This system coming out of the plains next week looks like it's going to be stronger and bigger. With a funky track. So I'm looking at one of many. I'm just right now looking at one of many forecast models. It has 60 degree temperatures on Friday, right up to Duluth, and really warm air over all of Minnesota. And then, screaming winds right behind it, and a change from rain and thunderstorms over to heavy snow. in northern Minnesota as you get into next weekend. We'll see. We're watching it. That's the main event. Other than that, there's a lot of warm-up happening between now and then. No really cold air. Just kind of mild conditions over the next several days. And then we will watch and see what happens with this huge storm that, you know, comes out of Colorado at 979 millibars and then just deepens from there. So we shall see. Is it real? Is it a hallucination of the weather models? Not clear yet.
Okay. Well, at least it gives you something fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we're looking at variables that indicate a severe thunderstorm outbreak in southern Minnesota or Iowa, again, just at least in the imagination of this particular model, two of the models, actually, that's wild. It's still March.
Yeah.
So
that's
early, very early.
Yes. So. Great. Well, now I want to also ask you, Kenny, about, you know, kind of a more serious thing that we all know. Sure. There have been a lot of executive orders in our administration that are going to have sort of long-term impacts, or may or may not have long-term impacts. And NOAA is one of the biggies. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what is happening, what may happen, and what effect that could have?
Yeah. I mean, and I can answer that as long as people understand. I'm not fully up to date. You've probably heard that some of the firings that have affected some of the agencies, the heads of those agencies or the heads of the divisions and the units in those agencies affected are often finding out from social media and not, you know, through the normal channels.
Yeah.
So to say that there's kind of a lack of obvious and clear information would be an understatement. But, you know, we do know that NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, which includes the National Weather Service, it also includes a huge amount of, you know, virtually all of the U.S.'s physical ocean monitoring. So monitoring the seas, including the Great Lakes. There's a huge Great Lakes observation and forecasting program called GLURL, Great Lakes, I don't know, Environmental Research Lab, I believe it is. That's a NOAA lab. They're widespread, and we know that at least the cuts have affected 10 to 15% of NOAA staff so far. And it's been pretty well distributed through programs. Right now it seems like a lot of the programs that have been, or a lot of the people who've been cut, were in programs where, you know, there were only one or two or three people who held the expertise to keep the data flowing in those situations. But in most of the cases, there was still one or two people left behind who could kind of cobble it together or figure it out. So far anyway, the data that we use for the weather enterprise and for climatology have not yet been affected. In other words, there are in Two Harbors and up in Brimson, there are observers for the federal observing program. They're called cooperative observers. It's different from COCORAS, which is kind of a national volunteer program. The federal observers actually report into the National Weather Service using software or reporting forms, and then that becomes official climate data. And those stations, so far, everything's going well, and we have access to the data. The concern would be, do we lose access to the data? Does the software get unplugged? So far, everything's flowing. And no real concerns. And with weather data, we're concerned that some of the forecast models that I just talked about could be affected, and that would that wouldn't bode well as we approach severe weather season. But nothing yet has actually been altered. I think it's because any of the cuts that have been made have been, you know, maybe extremely difficult for those programs, but manageable? But if there's another big round of cuts, it would be likely that we would start seeing some impact. And we don't know where those would be if they, you know, fire the wrong person or unplug the wrong system. you know, we actually here in the state, we have great statewide observers, but some of them do report in as federal observers, and anything federal, that's kind of what our climatology is based on, is these old federal observing programs that go back over 100 years in some cases. And losing those would make things extremely difficult for us. We'd have workarounds, but most states wouldn't. And that would be, we have a very robust volunteer program here in Minnesota. We're kind of data rich. Some other states are not. So that's the kind of challenge that, you know, we're hoping to avoid, but certainly would be possible.
All right. There's so much more I could ask you. I mean, yeah. And in some ways, when you talk about volunteer reporters, that's data, but that's not forecasting. That's what has already happened. And so,
Well, that's how we know what's changing, though. That's why they're so critical, because that's how we know what's going on and what's changing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the forecasting stuff is right now, everything's, I guess I'm going to, in lowercase letters, say okay. But I don't think the folks we know at NOAA, they can't take another hit. In other words, if another 10%, 15% go, you'll start seeing noticeable impacts, critical impacts to critical programs. And then we'd have much more that we could say, like, oh my gosh, this is really going to. And it could be that right now the long-term effects of these, they haven't interacted with each other. So we don't, you know, it hasn't been enough time to see what the full extent of the effects are.
Yeah.
And that's another piece.
Okay. Well, we'll keep this discussion going as the months go by. Thank you so much, Kenny, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll talk next week. Thanks, Katya. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist.